All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton here with you, standing in the confessional corner, and we have reached December. We have reached the final stop in our historical tour of the world around the Reformation. Not just sticking with the confessions, but seeing that the confessions are not done in a vacuum. So we have come all the way through to last month and the publication of the Book of Concord, with the Formula of Concord being the final piece of the confessional puzzle. Now we're going to take a few minutes to look at the roughly 50 years after the Book of Concord is published. So 1580 to 1630. There's a lot of big things going on around the world, but some interesting ones as well. The first one is in 1582, we have the changing from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar. Now, Pope Gregory XIII issued the bull Intergravissimus on February 24th, 1582, that brought reforms for the Julian calendar to bring the date of Easter in line with when it had been celebrated by the early church. The Julian calendar was based on the assumption that there are exactly 365.25 days in a year. Because the solar year has actually 365.2425 days in it, there had been an error in the date in the calendar for centuries. The Venerable Bede in the 8th century showed that the accumulated error had reached 3 days by his time. Around 1200, Roger Bacon estimated the error to be between 7 and 8 days. Pope Sixtus IV tried to reform the calendar in 1475, but the project was interrupted by the death of the chief reformer and calculator. Now, the great advances in astronomy toward the end of the 15th century showed that the need for the calendar reform was much more pressing. And yet, it had taken another century before they could get the calendar set right. By that time, they calculated an error of 10 days in the Julian calendar. So the last day of the Julian calendar was October 4th, 1582. The next day was October 15th, 1582. Just jumping the 10 days to put the calendar back aright for the Gregorian calendar, which is still the same calendar we use today. Which is why when you try to figure out why does Easter bounce around so much, part of that also goes back to the Julian calendar and the errors that were in there. But this happens just right after the publication of the Book of Concord. We move a few years down the road, August 8th, 1588. This was one of the greatest military upsets in history, when the English Navy defeated the Spanish Armada at the Battle of Gravelines off the coast of France. Up to this point, the Spanish Armada ruled the seas. They were basically invincible. And the Spanish were on their way to invade England. King Philip II of Spain had begun plans for this invasion back in January of 1586. The Armada launched from Lisbon on May 30th, 1588, and they arrived in the English Channel on July 30th and fought long-range gun duels with English warships for the next few days. On August 8th, the English sent 8 fireships, ships loaded down with gunpowder and set on fire, into the Armada. When the Spanish went out to sea to avoid the explosions, the English attacked and sank several ships. The Armada was forced to flee into the North Sea, and then taking the long way home to Spain around England and Ireland, having to really go back home with their tail tucked between their legs, having less than 2/3 of the Armada survive the attack and the voyage home. So here we have, in that decade, the defeat of the Spanish Armada and a beginning of a shift in power in Europe. Let's get back to the Lutherans for a minute. 1592, the Saxon Visitation Articles were a series of articles that were commissioned in 1952 and published in 1953. They were circulated with early copies of the Book of Concord because the Lutheran Church in Saxony required all pastors to subscribe to these articles as well as the whole of the Book of Concord. Even our own Missouri Synod earliest editions had the Saxon Visitation articles in them. The original impetus behind the Visitation articles was the exposure of the crypto-Calvinist plot in Wittenberg in the 1570s, including Philip Melanchthon. Elector Augustus I sought to eliminate Calvinism from Saxony. However, his successor, Christian I, sought to reintroduce Calvinism after his death in 1586. Christian himself died in 1591 and was succeeded by Duke Frederick William. Frederick William had the same desires as Augustus and ordered a visitation of all churches in Saxony. These articles focus on the Calvinistic errors that had crept into the Lutheran Church about the Holy Supper, the person of Christ, baptism, and predestination. Not only what we teach, but the false errors that are there among the Calvinists that they should be able to point out very easily. We still have the Saxon Visitation articles in our Book of Concord. It is put in as Appendix C in the Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions that we use for the Confessional Corner, which we will be getting back into next month, actually 2 weeks from today. So this is all getting back together. All right, move into the 17th century. Several things happening, but all of those things are just catalysts to bring about the big thing from the 17th century, the King James Version. It is published in 1611. It is the third English translation that was approved by the Church of England following the Great Bible of 1535 and the Bishop's Bible of 1568. Reformers in Switzerland had published the Geneva Bible in 1560 in English, so it also precedes the King James Bible. However, both the Geneva Bible and the Bishop's Bible were far too radical for King James. He convened the Hampton Court Conference in January 1604, giving the translators instructions that the new version conform to the ecclesiology of the Church of England. It was published in 1611 and quickly became the only acceptable English translation for the Church in England and English-speaking Protestants. The King James Version is still one of the most popular Bible translations in English today, including among those evangelicals who are KJV only, that it is the only allowable English translation even today, 400 plus years later. All right, move on a little bit. As I said, with the English defeat of the Spanish Armada, we begin to have power struggles and a shift in power, and this culminates in the 30 Years' War of 1618 to 1648. This was one of the most destructive wars in European history. An estimated 4.5 to 8 million people died, either in battle or from famine or disease caused by the battles. The Peace of Augsburg in 1555, 60 years before, had tried to settle the disputes between the Lutheran reformers and the Holy Roman Empire. However, the Lutheran Reformation continued to spread throughout Europe, not just staying within Germany, but going out into many other lands held by the Holy Roman Empire. The touch point for the war was the deposition of Holy Roman Emperor Ferdinand II, not as Holy Roman Emperor, but as King of Bohemia in 1618. He was replaced by Elector Frederick V of the Palatinate, a Lutheran. So the Bohemian Revolt, as it became known, led to Ferdinand invading the Palatinate. This brought Spain and the Dutch Republic into the conflict, who were already 50 years into the 80 Years' War that was going on to try to get Dutch independence. The first section of this war, 1618 to 1635, is basically a civil war within the Holy Roman Empire. The second section, from 1635 to 1648, includes France and Sweden as the primary antagonist for Holy Roman Emperor Ferdinand III. The war ended with the Peace of Westphalia in 1648. This treaty brought about autonomy for Bohemia, Saxony, and the Netherlands, who were finally accepted by Spain as being an independent nation. It also brought about the rise of France as the major political and military power in Europe in the late 17th century. So this is where France really gets heavily involved and where everything shifts from Germany and what we know of as Eastern Europe now into Central Europe and especially France. And when all of this is going on, let's go to America. September 16th, 1620. The Mayflower set sail from Plymouth, England. They landed at the tip of Cape Cod, now Provincetown, on November 21st. The pilgrims were seeking escape from England for religious reasons. They were being persecuted because, unlike the Puritans, who simply wanted reforms in the Church of England, the pilgrims wanted to separate themselves from the Church of England as another acceptable church body within England. They considered America to be the new promised land, which would allow them the freedom to worship as they desired. Along the way, they drafted the Mayflower Compact, which was written to establish an initial government in their new settlement based around theocratic ideas, but also being mindful of leaving a theocratic environment where the Church of England was the official church of the kingdom. They wanted a place where they could have the freedom to serve and worship God in the way that they desired, which is why the First Amendment that we have to our U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights includes the freedom of exercise of religion, that all Americans have that. This comes from the pilgrims seeking that same thing in England, but having to go around the world and establishing the colony of Plymouth to be able to have and fully see that, because they saw America as the new promised land, just like they were the Israelites wandering through the wilderness. All right, that's a quick look at what happens roughly the 50 years after the publication of the Book of Concord. So we've gotten up to 1630, 1648 with the Peace of Westphalia ending the 30 Years' War. And so now what we're going to do with 2025 looming at us in a couple of weeks, we're going to start off back at the very beginning, the preface of the Book of Concord, and then starting in 2025, we are going to go through in roughly chronological order. So we're going to go through first the preface in 2 weeks, then we'll go through each of the three creeds, and then we will get to the small catechism, and then the large. The debate that, honestly, Luther wrote the large first, but it's easier to elaborate on things when you do the smaller version first and then the larger. So that is what we're going to do in 2025. But again, that is still a couple of weeks away. We are right now, as I am posting this, 2 days away from Christmas. This is the last of the days of the O Antiphons as we do cry, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Not just the Israel on the map, but the Israel of God, all of those who believe in Him. I pray that your Christmas time is a joyful one with family and friends, and especially church, because this is why we have Christmas in the first place, to come together to celebrate the birth of our Lord, the Lord who came in flesh just like us, so that He can save our sinful flesh. And that is why we wrestle with the theologies around us, so that we may truthfully understand and profess the great things of God. Amen.